Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Okay, good, good. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
You can sit down.
Okay.
It's okay. No, welcome again. Just as most of you already know that every first Sunday of the month, we have a corporate communion. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And so as our servers begin to give you our little elements, two elements, they're two little cups. And if you'll notice the wine part of it, or which not really wine, but the juice part of it is on the top, and then the little bread is on the bottom. So try to take them apart. Sometimes that's a little hard. But when you're done, when we're done, pass them to the sides, and then the servers will pick them up and be rid of them. So anyway, I'm going to read a scripture while they're passing these things out. But as I've said before, this is corporate. But every other Sunday, there is communion elements in the back of our church. And you are encouraged, if you like, to go back there on your own with your family, whatever you want, however you want to do it. But for you to take communion every Sunday, if that's what you want. So while they're passing the elements out, I'm going to read out of Matthew 19, 28 through 30. And this is what it says. Or 19, I'm sorry. I think that's what I want. Guess what? I can't find it. You know why? Because it's in John. Ay, ay, ay. Leave it to John, right? Okay. I found it. It was in the Bible. And it says, this is Jesus on the cross, and this is his last few words, and he says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, and they put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So that was the last words that he said, that it was finished. All that he had gone through, just even in his ministry, and the what he went through in the garden, feeling that separation from the Father. All that he had gone through, the mocking, the hurt that they put upon his body, he had finally come to a place that he could rest now. He said, it is finished. And that's something that I've said it before, but I want to remind you of. What does finished mean?
Complete,
right? There's no more to be done. And sometimes we think that there are still things that we have to do in order to receive what he's already done. And so when you come to this place, this is what we're doing this morning, is just a reminder of what he did, of what he went through. But he said that all your sins, he took upon himself all your sins, past, present, and future. There's no more to be heavy on you, because he took care of it. Whatever it may be, we the other day we talked about curses, and you can't not have a curse upon your body because he took it. Word says that he became a curse. So there, whatever you would ever think of that someone is condemning you with or coming against you with, that you're trying to still think that you have it, that's not so. Jesus paid for everything. Complete. Finished. No more to be done. So every time that you try to take something back upon yourself, you're saying that he didn't do it, that he still has more to be done. And so don't go there. Has everybody got elements yet? Everybody except me. That's funny. This has been a good morning, right? Okay. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples. And after giving thanks, he just, he told his disciples that to take the body. This was the body that, please stand, I'm sorry. Thank you, Pastor. It always reminds me, it's good to stand. It's good to acknowledge. It's good to honor what Jesus did on that cross. So he told his disciples that, this was his last words, and that there was a body. He took the bread and he tore it apart and he gave to each one of us symbol of his body, a body that had been broken, a body that had been abused, and as I said earlier, so much that he took upon himself so it wouldn't come upon us. And so as you take this bread, just keep in mind and just know that he did it all, that he finished. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup. And again, we see that this is a symbol of the blood that he shed. The blood from, as I've always said, from the time of the crown of thorns to the nails on his feet and the whippings that he took, everything that could ever be done, he shed his blood. He did the ultimate sacrifice so that he could say, finished, not for us to take upon ourselves. So please take the cup. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your finished work on the cross, Lord. No more, Lord, for us to do, Lord. We can stand on your righteousness, Lord. It is your righteousness, Lord, that gets us through each day, that we can know that we have eternal life, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord. May we always be reminded, not just communion time or not just church time, Lord. May we always be reminded of who you are in our lives, Lord, that without you, Lord, we need not even be here, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. And we know that you love us even more than we could ever understand. Amen.
The last couple days I had this pain, like a knife, right here. And I'm twisting and it's gone. Yep. It was really severe. And I was wondering what was going on, but it's gone. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Better than I deserve. I was reading today in the Word, and the Lord guided me to Matthew 5 verses, I don't know, it's verse 14 that says that we are a light like a city on a hill. And just made me think that about the truth that, you know, we are the light of the world, and that God has blessed us to be a light to others. And I just felt so encouraged by that, and I wanted to edify the body by saying that, you know, even though sometimes you can be intimidated by sharing the gospel for A, B, and C reasons, that, you know, not to be intimidated, because the Holy Spirit is within us and He gives us strength and courage to witness to people despite what we may believe, like, well, you know, they're not going to listen to what I say, or they're not going to receive the truth. That is a lie from the enemy. The truth is, some people need to hear the truth. They care what you say, and that, you know, Jesus is always with us, and He empowers us to fulfill the Great Commission and walk the good walk of faith toward the higher calling of God. Like John said, I haven't attained, but one thing I know is that I press forward to the higher calling of God. Yeah. And I encourage you today to walk that good walk toward the higher calling of what God has called you to. Thank you so much for your time.
How do you turn this thing on? Amen? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? You're awful quiet this morning. Haven't seen a lot of folks come up to the mic, but that's okay. And I'm just saying, here comes one now. No? Yes? No? Praise God. Yeah, not like putting somebody on the spot. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, I was talking to the folks this morning, and one of the things I said, and I shouldn't have said it this way, but we have been taught that God is far away. There's a distance between us, and that there's always a delay with God. There doesn't always have to be a delay. How many say amen to that? God is always with us. There's no distance. He's within you. Is that okay? Do you understand that? That God, as soon as you ask, He hears. Is that okay? Do you understand that? As soon as you ask, He hears. Problem is, like somebody said this morning, the problem is that we don't hear. As soon as He asks, sometimes we act like we don't hear. How many say amen to that? Nobody wants to say amen to that. Sometimes God will say, why don't you go over there to your neighbor's house and do this for them? And we play like, hey, I didn't hear that. Amen? We go deaf on God. Can you say amen to that? How many of you want to hear God? How many desire to hear the things that God has for you? Do you know how many know that God has things for you today? Not really tomorrow. He's got things for you tomorrow, but He's got things for you today. And you're still living on things from yesterday. Can you say amen? Don't say amen to that. I don't want to say amen. I'm living on yesterday. How many want to eat yesterday's food, leftovers, for the next 3 years? Sometimes we're living on leftovers for 3 years with God. Is that right? And God's trying to speak to our hearts. He's desiring to move us in places we never thought we'd go. Can you say amen? So I would say this morning, enjoy the word of God this morning, if you will. Amen. How many just love to hear God's word? And I'll tell you, from this house, we always preach out of the word of God. We're not going to give you a business lesson up here, unless the Lord says to give you a business lesson. Is that all right? But our business is the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? The things of the kingdom. There is a kingdom that God is releasing in the earth. My granddaughter, she told me this the other day. My favorite verse is it in Romans, and I can't quote it completely. She might be able to quote it for me. But it says that for this light suffering that we do, is that what it says? For this light suffering is but for a moment. How do you say amen? And is nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. How many understand that? What we're going through is nothing to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Is that okay? And I just want you to think about it this time. A lot of times you never think about this, but when Jesus took those three boys up on the mountain and he was transfigured, the glory that they saw was something they had never seen in anybody. And they right away, they wanted to make three temples there. Let's make one for you, one for Moses, and one for, who's the other, Elijah. Let's make three temples right here. It's just typical humans, is that right? We always want to find a place we can go back to and worship there. But God is a right now, worship me now type of God. Can you say amen to that? Right now, when you walk out the doors of this church, you might think you're done with church, but you ain't done with church. You're just beginning, is that right? Come on, today is the day. The whole day is for him. Can you say amen to that? And the glory that's going to be revealed in you, it's nothing to be compared to what we're going through even right now. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, you got to believe it, man. You got to know that God is going to reveal the glory in you. I had a friend of mine up at the mine one day. He came up to shake my hand, and he goes, "Woo, where have you been, brother?" I go, "I don't know. I mean, I was just worshiping God, singing hallelujahs to the Lord, man." And he goes, "Man, I have to feel the anointing on you, bro." And so, folks, and this is a thing that God, you remember how people passed by, Peter passed by with a shadow? Was the shadow anointed? It wasn't the shadow, man. Is that right? Is the glory of God upon the person. Is that okay? And that's what he has for you, every one of you. I don't care who you are. If you believe Jesus died for you and you accept him into your heart, the glory of God is indwelling within you. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're a good-looking bunch this morning. How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, "Man, you're good-looking." Man, yeah. Hey, don't say that to my wife. That's my wife. I'm just kidding. Hey, let me just say something to you. We believe in raising up people here to preach the word of God. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
We believe in and letting a generation and seeing the generations come. I'm excited to hear my granddaughter preach a sermon. I'm excited to hear Selena preach a sermon. Can you say amen to that? I'm excited to hear Davin preach a sermon. I'm excited to hear all these young people. Can you say amen? And we're going to get them up here. Isn't that right, Micaiah? Abe? We're going to get those kids up here. Can you imagine? Ben's already preaching sermons. Yeah. Little Ben, yeah. We believe in this. We believe in that. My daughter's going to come and preach and give the word that God has placed on her heart. And let me just say this to you, folks. There's a lot of folks that don't believe that women should have any say in the church. We're not that way. Can you say amen to that? We believe. I'm going to say this. This is what we believe, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, "Get ready." Look at the other one and say, "Uh-oh." Get ready. This is what we believe here. We believe that in Galatians it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It is not I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me." Can you say amen to that? This is why Paul said there's neither Greek nor Jew. Uh-oh. When he said, you know when Paul said there's no Jew? Woo, you're on dangerous ground, Paul. Is that right? There's no Greek nor Jew. There's no male or female in Christ. It's the Spirit of God indwelling the person. There's people out there that believe a woman should not preach. And I'm going to tell you, you're mistaken. Look at the Word of God. It says that person died and Christ is now dwelling in them. So who can we deny to preach? Hey, if they believe in Christ, they're a preacher. Amen? Yeah, I don't hear a lot of amens. I just hear this one guy say amen. I'm going to say, if you're in Christ, you are a preacher. Okay? Amen. All right, brother. All right. Okay. Come on, Mark, get up here and preach. So I am honored for all these young people to speak. Abe, see, we have them speak. You got no choice, Abe. You got no choice, Rebecca. We have our younger pastors preach. Abe is the youth pastor. Rebecca is the worship pastor. We have them preach. They're on schedule. And I've heard some great thing out of these younger preachers. Can you say amen to that? And I'm going to say just this morning, get ready to hear. Everybody kind of lean forward in your seat right now. Lean forward. Ready, ready. One, two, three. Lean forward. Yeah. Get ready to hear. Act like that. You know when you want to hear something, you kind of get, you go, wait, I can't hear him. I can't hear him. You start moving forward. Hey, this is what we're talking about today. Get ready to hear. Miha, come on up. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for her. Can you say amen? We're going to pray this morning. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father God, the vessel is not of importance, but what's in the vessel. Amen. Father God, is what's important. So Father, have your way with all of us. I, Father, as a pastor, I need what you have for me today. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Rebecca a hand.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. The title of my message is, Are We Animals? And it might be kind of confusing to start, but I think it's going to get very, you guys are going to understand where I'm going once we get into it. God actually gave me this a few weeks back. And I knew God had really been talking about something. This is something I learned at actually a young age. And it's something that's been very big in my life. I would say all my teenage years and everything. And so I knew God was really talking to me about it. He was showing me some new things on it, which was awesome. But to be honest, I feel like it's a hard message to preach. It's just very, it can get confusing. It can send some people with they'll put up a defense right away, but this is meant for your good. It really is. And I know that are you sure? Can I tell you, I'm going to be honest. I was telling them this morning, I spent all week asking God, please give me something else. Can you please just give me another message? And I did. I looked and everything just kept coming back to this. And so I really believe it's something that is extremely important in our lives. I think that it's a blessing when we understand it. And I do believe that it's going to be good. I think God knows what he's doing better than me. So that's what we're going to go with. We're going to go with what he's wanting to do. So we're going to start in Romans 8 at verse 1. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this, of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So this can sound like a lot all at once, but I wanted to read through all of it once because my sermon is going to have a lot to deal with this. So when I, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a testimony. When I was in high school, my freshman year of high school, I played basketball all through middle school. I loved basketball. I still love basketball. I enjoy it very much. I had some great coaches. And then I came into high school super excited. Like, I was so excited. Like, okay, I wonder how I'm going to do. Also very nervous. But I was very excited because I loved basketball. And I just so happened to get a coach that really just did not like me. And to be honest, to this day, I really don't know why. Like, I never did anything to her. I never, like, said anything. I never, that wasn't my nature. Like, I was quiet. I know that sounds odd now, but like, cause you guys know me, but I was in high school. I was quiet. I was definitely more, nervous and kind of shy when it came to people I didn't know, things like that. So like, you know, there wasn't anything that I really like that I can think of that I ever did to make her upset with me. But for some reason, she did not like me. And I tried out. I went through the whole process, you know, the few days or whatever. And when it came down to the end, I made a team, but it was a team of two. And you need five to play basketball. So it felt like it was very much so on purpose. And so I made her what she called the freshman team. And she told me, you know, me and this other girl, she was like, you guys made this team. And then she gave all the other girls like where they were at for sophomore and whatever, and then varsity and all that stuff. So anyways, like, I am telling you guys this because this is where I learned that I couldn't go based off of what I was feeling, but that I had to go based off of what God was telling me. And this was at a young age. I was just a freshman going into high school. Well, I was just going into high school, obviously freshman. So I wasn't like, I hadn't learned this lesson as an adult. I wasn't any of those things, but I had a really great mentor. Some of you guys know Monica. She took me in at camp one year and she really began to kind of pour some things into me about making sure that I was putting the Spirit before me all the time. And she really started to pour a lot of these things in, and she taught me about the Spirit, the soul, and the body. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And when she talked to me about that, can I tell you that as a teenager, this is probably like the hardest time to learn these lessons? It's like, I mean, you're growing hormones, all of this stuff, right? Like, and you're learning a lesson and putting the spirit before you. And that's the thing is that this happened to me. So my freshman year, and I went out and I cried to my dad. I remember my dad picking me up, and I remember just crying and crying and crying, because in practices, I already felt like this lady doesn't like me. And then this thing happened that just kind of confirmed all the feelings that I had. Like, I know she doesn't like me. She doesn't really even give me a chance. Like, what am I supposed to do? And, you know, so normal reaction, right? There was me and another girl. Normal reaction was that girl was like, that's it, I quit. Like, I'm not going to do it. Like, if this is the way she's going to treat me, I quit. Like, I'm not going to put up with this. Like, I don't have to play basketball. It's just a sport. Like, I'm done. I don't care. And I remember talking to my dad, and my dad being like, well, do you want to quit? Because if you want to quit, like, we'll support you. But he threw the but in there. And that's the thing is, like, I didn't want to quit. I loved playing basketball. I really enjoyed it. It was the one sport out of all the sports that I wanted to play for sure. It wasn't something that I just want to be like, yeah, I'll quit it. It's not a big deal. And so that's the thing is, like, my dad and my mom, they both knew this about me. And I remember him having not just one conversation, but several conversations with me about what does the Bible tell us about situations like these? And we did this just to kind of, we went over, like, you know, having a servant's heart, like, you know, even when people treat us one way, that we don't have to treat them that same way. Like, we went over all kinds of things. We went through scriptures, we went through all of this stuff. And I decided, okay, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to trust that God sees what's happening, that he knows what's going on. And I'm just going to stick it out. Like, and we'll see what happens. After we make this decision, they gave us our uniforms and our equipment, right? And I will tell you, after seeing my uniform, I was like, man, I really want to quit. Like, because it was this, like, old uniform that, like, was peeling and, like, it looked like it was falling apart. I got this bag that literally looked like it was from, like, the first year of the school I was ever around. Like, it was very, very old. And it was, like, cracking and stuff. And I don't know. It was just, like, my first initial thought was, like, I don't even want to carry this bag. And I don't even want to wear this uniform. Like, how embarrassing. And so because of that, like, I did. Like, I immediately kind of started to think, like, oh, I don't know. Like, maybe I should just quit. But that's the thing is, like, God was still talking to me through it too. Like, nope, like, you're not going to, like, you're going to be fine. And so, okay, like, I'm just going to keep doing this. I served this lady. I did anything she needed because I wasn't playing basketball. She wouldn't use me. She would not put me in. I was on a team by myself. Like, I could never play. So that's the thing is, like, I had no choice but to just, okay, like, what do you need me to do? And I'm just going to appreciate being here. And so I did everything for her. Go put the balls away. Go get that. Go do that. Go take this. Like, she would have me keep the books for the team that I wished I was playing on, which was very difficult, but I did it. I did all the things she asked me to do. And to be honest, I never thought there was going to be an end in sight because I knew this lady just did not like me. And even though I was doing all this stuff for her, she was still mean to me. I would still cry at practices. I know I didn't only cry once at practice because I remember a few times coming out and crying to my dad, like, she hates me. And so she was still mean to me in practices, still just treated me. However, even though I was trying to do everything for this lady, and I really was trying to get her to like me. Like, I don't understand. You know, I was a kid. My thought process was definitely like, I don't understand. Like, why don't you like me? Like, and, you know, I tried really hard. But we came to holiday season. And during the holidays, like, there was, I mean, it was a longer break than what the kids get nowadays. There's like this long break. And so I kind of just figured like, okay, I got a break. Like, I don't have to deal with her, whatever. Like, I'm out of basketball right now. And the lower teams don't have practices. Only varsity teams keep practicing because they do like tournaments and different things like that. So for us, it was like a complete break from basketball. Whereas like, you know, varsity kept going. Well, I was sitting at home on the couch watching TV and I was folding clothes because I remember I was folding clothes for my mom. And my dad brought me the phone and told me like, hey, your coach wants to talk to you. And my first thought was like, why is she calling me? But he told me, no, it's, you know, the varsity coach wants to talk to you. So I was like, okay. So I was still like, why does she want to talk to me? And so I got on the phone. I was like, hello. She was like, hey, she goes, how are you, Rebecca? How is your holiday going? I told her, oh, it's going good. You know, like, and she told me, she goes, well, she's like, I wanted to call you because, we have a tournament that's going on this weekend. She's like, and we need some girls. And she's like, and I'd really like you to come play. Would you do that? She's like, would you be willing to come play? She goes, you might not get a lot of playing time. She goes, you know, we'll just see how it goes. But she just told me that, you know, like it was an opportunity to come and join them. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. You know, like, and, I was excited, but at the same time, I was like, I probably won't play at all, but like, I'm happy I'm going to be there because I was on a team by myself. So this was a win no matter what, you know what I mean? So I was super excited to go. My parents took me because the first time that I went wasn't even a practice. It was a game, which was really scary to me, but they took me, we met them like, and when I met them, they gave me all of this stuff. I felt like I was like, being lavished with stuff, even though it was just their normal stuff. But it was like, I got this big bag. I got like more than one jersey, multiple sets of warm-ups, like shirts. Like I got all of this stuff that the varsity gets. And I was like, oh, how nice. Like I was all excited. The bag was big enough that I could probably fit in it. It was huge. So like, I was super excited and ended up going. And just to kind of like let you guys kind of know the end quickly, is that it ended up being that I played in this game, started every single game after that game. Like she just totally took me in. She nominated me to become a Gatorade Will to Win athlete, which was like a great thing because you could get scholarships off of it. You could do all of this stuff. She really just helped me a ton. Like she really just took me in. And you know, everything that my dad talked to me about, everything that I know God talked to me about, I had no idea how that was going to be fixed or that it would ever be fixed. But I knew that I had learned some things about learning that we couldn't go based off of what we felt and that we needed to go based off of what God told us. And I knew that if I stood on those things, that he wouldn't leave me. I didn't know how it would resolve. And to be honest with you, I never thought that I was going to be a freshman starting every single game after that on the varsity team. Like, I never thought that was going to be it. I thought, you know, maybe like she'll notice me and she'll tell her, like, let her on the like sophomore freshman team. You know what I mean? Like, then I was like, you know, like, or the sophomore junior team. Then I know like, okay, well, at least I can be there. Like that was more where my thought process was. But God had so much more than even what I was thinking about. Because he knew like, you know, just do what I'm telling you and I'll work through it. It wasn't anything that I worked together. It was things that he was working together. But I tell you all of this story because this was my first lesson in ever having to put aside my emotions, control my emotions, and let my spirit go before me. And it's what we're going to talk about today. We have the spirit, the soul, and the body. You'll look in the scriptures, the scriptures even list it that way, spirit, soul, body. And our body is our Well, the Bible refers to it as like your flesh, because it's like your basic instincts, right? Like your senses, like I see this, I'm hungry, I need food, I want to eat, you know, I like, you know, it's the necessities, I guess, that your body feels that it needs to survive, right? Like your basic instincts to, okay, I need food, I need water, I need these things, like this is all the things I need, right? Your soul, and this, so I'm going to try to explain these because this can get very confusing to a lot of people. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's, if you look it up in like, even, I was, because I feel like this is a part that I know God even talked to me about several times, because when you read scriptures in the Bible, it can get like really confusing, because then you read things that say like, oh, like, you know, if you lose your soul, or, you know, save your soul, like things like that. And then I think people start looking at it as their spirit, but it's not, they're different things. They're completely different. So your soul is, a lot of people like refer to it also, like, because you think of like your passions and your, like all of these things too, because sometimes people are driven by those things, right? Which is why I think that's an easy way for people to like designate that, is because like, oh, like I'm passionate about this, I want this, I'm going after it, right? Your emotions, a lot of times the Bible doesn't refer to the word emotions itself, but if you read a lot of these things, you'll begin to see that it talks about the bowels. It talks about your heart. And what is it? What happens when you feel things? Like you feel nervous, or you feel like butterflies in your stomach. They refer to those things, right? And they're feelings. They're your emotions. Your heart hurts. You're sad. Those things, they're your emotions. That's what you're feeling. And that's the thing, is a lot of people let those first two things rule their life. It's the way the world rules their life, for sure. Because everything is about, what do I see? What do I want? What do I feel? What do I need? What's going on? Like, you know, I'm mad at this person. I'm sad over here. I'm upset with this. I'm happy right now. Like, it's emotions all over the place, right? And that's the thing. That can be the problem, right? It's emotions all over the place, that if you're letting that lead you, it can take you in all sorts of places. It can lead you down all sorts of different ways, which is why, like, when you see that, like, the references in the Bible about, like, losing your soul or things like that, it's the reference to you turning to all of those things that are contrary to what God's wanting you to turn towards. And the spirit, now this can get confusing too, because if you look in the Bible, you will see, so first, the spirit is conscience, communion, intuition. It's those things that, like, we, you know how sometimes when, I don't know, say you were younger, you went to go like take a candy bar, but you felt like something was telling you, hey, hey, you probably need to think about that, right? Like, that's the thing, is our spirit is meant to be directed towards God's spirit all the time. And this is where I think it can be confusing for people, is that it is two. It's not just one. The Bible actually refers to your spirit, his spirit. Like when it's talking about people, it'll say like his spirit, but then it'll also talk about his spirit with a capital H, and that is his spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing, is that we're gonna look at some things in the Bible, but it can get confusing, because I think that sometimes when people start reading the Bible, they see these things, right? And they see the difference between your spirit and his spirit, and, or, you know, like I just mentioned with like losing your soul or saving your soul and all these different things. And then it becomes very confusing and muddled, but we're going to try to get it as clarified and simple as possible today. We're not going to go into like the definitions of, like, you know, the soul, or the definitions of the spirit things. Like, we're going to kind of I'm explaining those things to you, but what I know God's wanting to speak to us about is who should be in charge and what we should be letting lead us. And so I want that to be the main focus today. I want to go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. So we're going to kind of start a little bit like in the middle, but there were people speaking in the king's ear, right? Trying to get him to make some decrees that they knew would hurt Daniel because of who he was. And where we're coming in is they've now signed these. Okay. So Daniel 6:10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions three times a day." It kind of makes me laugh when you look at it, in the sense that, like, man, these guys were so petty, right? Like, he's not just making it once, like, it's three times a day that he's doing this to you. Like, he doesn't care about you at all. You know what I mean? Like, they're really appealing to, like, he's really going against this decree. Not just a little bit, but a lot of it. So you got to do something now. You know what I mean? Like, and so it says, "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Man, these guys knew what they were doing. They knew that they knew the king loved him and that he even wanted to put him over the realm, which is why they hated him, right? And that's the thing, is they knew it, but they figured out, okay, we're going to kind of work it out here, and he's going to be stuck. Like, he'll have no choice but to get rid of Daniel. You know what I mean? So, says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." So, I bring up Daniel because I think this is one of the great examples of somebody who put his emotions aside, right? And I'd like to point out that at this time, the Holy Spirit hadn't even been given yet. So that's why, you know, it was that they would have to do the sacrifices and all that stuff. I mean, Jesus hadn't come yet to die for our sins. And then that's when we were given the Holy Spirit. So in this, it didn't say in this version. I think mine might have been the New King James Version, but it in the new, I think it's the New King James Version. It actually talks about how his spirit, Daniel's, was towards God, and that's the thing, is that, you know, when you are, I'm getting a little hot. When you're Daniel knew what they were doing. Like, in here, he knows, it even states, he knew when they signed the decree, when it had been written. He knew, okay, now this is law, this is what's happening, like, it's going to happen. And he could have done several things, right? What would instinct be? I'm going to run. Like, I don't want to get eaten by a lion. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. I got to go. Like, it definitely wouldn't be to just sit around, right? If you knew that somebody's trying to kill you. And that's the thing, is that he knew what was happening, and he still chose in that moment. He still chose to disregard any fear, anything that he was feeling, any emotion he was feeling, because he knew the God that he served. And his spirit was after God. That's the thing. He was actively looking. Let me put you before anything I feel, because I know who you are. And that's what we're meant to do. We're meant, even in the moments where we could let emotions run away with us, to say, no, God, you've told me something different. The church has talked a lot. I know I've listened to a lot of different things about not looking at what we see physically in front of us, but operating in the kingdom. And that's the thing, is we've been saying it. But when God was giving me this message, I really felt like he said, but they're not getting it. And we're going to bring it down one more level so that they can understand what I'm trying to tell them. That they're not meant to operate in an earthly way. You're meant to operate in the kingdom. And doing that requires us learning how to shut up the body and the soul so that they won't lead us in every single thing that we're doing. It can be difficult to be in ministry. It's not an easy task. And this is for every single one of you. It's not easy. You will get criticism. You will get all kinds of things. You'll get people mad at you. You'll get people upset with you, even when you're trying to be loving. And it's okay. Because it's not up to you to tell somebody what to do. It is up to you to give what God's given you and allow God to do the rest. All you got to do is let the Spirit go before you in every single thing that you do. There is one thing. Can I tell you, I was not a worship leader before becoming a worship leader here. I did worship for lots of years. I sang, I did all that, but I wasn't the leader. And when God talked to me about it, this was another moment that I was like, God, are you sure? I don't know how to play the guitar or the piano, which my brother was excellent at. So of course my immediate thought was like, I am not him and I don't know how I'm going to do this. But it just so happened that he also talked to my dad about the same thing. So, okay, God, if that's what you're telling me, then that's what we're going to do. And I know that even my parents felt a certain way about me being the worship leader, just because we had already seen how things could go with, you know, just everybody likes certain music, like certain things, like certain, you know what I mean? It's a hard job. It is. And in every single thing and in every area, can I tell you the thing that I have found that is most important to me is, whatever happens, if I know I went to God first before I made any choice, any decision, anything when it comes based on the worship team, then I knew, okay, God, like, if somebody gets upset, if somebody gets mad, like, I don't know what to say because I know it was you. It's the best thing you can do to go to God first for every decision that you make. Knowing that the decision I made with you, the only person that matters, the only person that I need to make that decision with. Because that's what's important. That's what we got to learn. It's what we got to know. We got to know how to allow the Spirit to go before us in every single thing that we do. Not just when it feels good, not just when it's, you know, convenient to us, but all the time. I was telling my dad that I just totally lost her name right now. I was thinking her name, totally forgot about it. Kat Von D is a tattoo artist that is known for like being satanic worshiper, but she was like super huge, like very well known, very popular, things like that. She got saved recently. And I was telling my dad that it's like really awesome because I read an article that she did an interview. And you can tell, like, you know how sometimes people get saved, and I think that's the thing, is the church thinks, oh, maybe it's not real. You know what I mean? Like, but what she said in there, you could just tell God had done some things in her life. And she kept it quiet. She didn't tell anybody. She didn't say anything. She kind of fell off the map a little bit. And then she got baptized, and I think somebody in the church took a picture. It got out there. You know what I mean? Like, so then it became this big thing. And that's why she did this article, is because then she came forward and talked about, you know, okay, well, so this is out there now. So let me just talk about what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, which, to be honest, I don't blame her for, because people can be harsh, right? And that's the thing, is that I read this whole article and stuff, but I told my dad what really made my heart sad is that they asked her a question about, like, you know, you've gotten a lot of like comments and stuff like that. How are you dealing with it? How are you handling it? And she said, she goes, you know, it's fine. You know, I'm my choice isn't based on people. So she goes, so it's okay. They can say what they want. She goes, but you know what's really hard for me? The most criticism I've gotten has been from the church. The people that have been the meanest have been the people who are supposed to be serving God. You know, when I heard that, I was like, man, it's sad. It really is. Because we're meant to be a reflection of who God is. He didn't care what was happening in people's lives. He still, let's just even look at the story of the perfume bottle, right? Who is she? Do you know who she is? He didn't care. It was the gift that she was bringing. That's the thing, is sometimes the church is so busy thinking that traditionally, this is the way things should go. These are the way things are. This is how I feel about this because I grew up learning this, or whatever it is, that we let the feelings get in the way of what God's trying to do, because we're not letting the Spirit go before us. If we were letting the Spirit go before us, we'd realize that He's wanting us to love those people. Those are the people that need to be in these chairs on a regular basis. And we're meant to be out there uplifting them, encouraging them, talking to them, helping them in every single area, not pointing a finger saying, oh, no, you're too bad for this church. Come on. These are the people who need God in their lives. These are the people that are looking and searching and have no idea what the answer is. And you have the answer. But if you would stop pointing the finger and open up your heart to them, you would see that God's wanting to do so much, not only through you, but the people around you. It's why putting the Spirit ahead of you in every single thing, learning how to control those emotions, how to control those things that waver you this way and that way all the time, is so important. It's the reason the Bible says narrow is the path. Because it's hard for some people to decide to say, yeah, I know it's my nature, but it's not your nature, God. I've heard some people say at the mine, I used to hear it all the time, when they would get mad about something or upset, well, they know how I am. They know that's who I am. Woo. But is that who God's called you to be? Is that how God has called you to operate? He knows who you are too. And the Bible still tells you that you are meant to allow the Spirit to go before you. That you're meant to be spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, and spirit last. You're meant to have that be what takes over everything else. And so often, we let that soul or that body rear its head. Hey, hey, remember me? And we got to learn to tell it, nope. I know how I'm feeling right now, but God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to deal with it? How do you want me to go forward? What direction are you taking me in now? What is it that you have for me? That can be the most important time to do that, is when we feel our emotions rising up and being the only thing that wants to lead us to say, okay, I'm going to calm in this moment and I'm going to allow you to tell me what you want me to do. I'm going to let you speak to me about what you're doing in my life right now. Let's go to Galatians 5:13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Let me read it in here really quick. It's probably gonna be faster. Sorry, let me pull this up really fast. Okay, this one says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." This is where I read this scripture, and this is where an animal directly came into my mind. Because he's talking about letting the flesh get away with you, right? And devouring each other. And that's the thing. We're not meant to live on basic instinct. Animals live on basic instinct. I need to find food. I need to find covering. I need to find, you know, oh, I'm getting attacked. I'm in trouble. I need to protect myself. They're living on basic instinct because that's what they got to do to survive. We were not created to live on basic instinct. We were not created to just treat people however so that we could survive. We were created to treat people with love. And that's the thing, is this is one of those scriptures that came straight to mind, because this is putting the Spirit before us, realizing, okay, if I let my body and my soul go before me, basic instinct is to devour one another. But the Spirit being ahead of you and not the flesh being in charge is to love one another. This is a clear depiction of how our lives will begin to reflect the Father as we begin to allow that Spirit to be what leads us and not the flesh. It's a very clear depiction, because it's talking about the difference between devouring and loving. It's very two separate things, right? He's telling us, if you let the flesh be what rules you, you're going to devour everybody. But if you allow your flesh to not be what leads you, you're going to be loving on some people, because that's who the Spirit of God is. Okay? So let's go to First Corinthians 15:45. And that says, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I'm actually going to read this to you in a few versions because it makes it easier to understand. Okay, so in, this is New King James Version, and this says, it is sown, hold on, 15, 41st Corinthians, 15, 49. Oh, is that New King James? And it is written, the first man became Adam. Okay, so now, sorry, that's the one I read. I'm going to read it to you in Amplified. She changed it? Okay. So it is written in Scripture, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, an individual. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Can we go to the next verse? However, the spiritual, the immortal life is not first, but the physical, the mortal life, then the spiritual. And then next, sorry. The first man, Adam, is from the earth, earthy, made of dust. The second man, Christ, the Lord, is from heaven. Next verse. As is the earthly man, the man of dust, so are those who are of earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. Next verse. Can you go to the next verse? Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly, the man of heaven. So, now I say this, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit nor be part of the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable mortal inherit the imperishable immortal. Listen very carefully. I tell you a mystery, a secret truth decreed by God and previously hidden, but now revealed. We will not all sleep in death, but we will all be completely changed, wondrously transformed. This then goes into talking about like how we're going to, as we take on the heavenly, the heaven, it goes on to talk about as we take on the heavenly being that we're meant to be, that we're going to be wondrously transformed. And even those that it, this starts going into when the resurrection happens and everything else. But I wanted to read the Amplified version because I read this version in both King James, New King James, and NIV. And I knew that this was a scripture God had given me, but I was like, man, this can get really confusing. But in Amplified, it did a really great job of breaking down, right? Like, because I think sometimes people don't even realize when they're talking about the second Adam, who they're talking about, it's Christ. And that's the thing is, so it's talking about in here, the first Adam, right? Adam and Eve, right? That's the thing, right? Before eating the forbidden fruit, they were walking with God. But that's the thing is flesh led them to something that they weren't supposed to have, right? Which then separated. Now that was flesh taking over. That was what it was. The second Adam, that's why in that verse it talks about him coming. He really did show us the way it's done, right? He not only came and walked here as a human, he had the same temptations. He had the same problems, everything that other people have. But it's a picture of somebody who allowed the Spirit to walk before him all the time. I mean, if we look at how often let's just look even back to when he was a kid and he got left at the synagogue. because he was about his father's business. And then, like, moving forward, like, all the times that we see him praying, all the times we see him going after God, including when he knew his impending death was getting close. Then it's, okay, let me get into more prayer. That's the thing. He was looking to God. This, our spirit is meant to be going after God. It's meant to be looking to him for everything. It's meant to be getting fed by him. It's meant to be getting the secrets. This talks about, in the end, it even talks about the mystery that's been revealed, right? There's so many of those in the Bible that are specifically for you. And as you go after God, as you point your spirit at his spirit and you align those, you begin to see that he has all of these things for you. And they just begin to be revealed and revealed. And that's the thing, is people can make it really difficult sometimes because in our minds, we're thinking, gosh, we have to fight with this flesh and we have to do all this stuff. But if we just realize, if you just stay in the word, if you just go after God, you'd begin to see that just focusing on who he is in every single moment, it makes the rest kind of just fall into place. It really does. There's times where I have gone through something and I've been like, oh man, it's so hard. I'm so down. It's so rough. And you go after God, you go after God. And all of a sudden you're like, man, he did all of that stuff. It wasn't because you were doing it. It's because you were allowing him to do it through you. And now it wasn't as much work. It wasn't as complicated as we can try to make it because we're trying to allow all of these things to mix it up. It wasn't as difficult because now we just focused on God. That's all we did. God, I'm going after you. I'm building a relationship with you. And as you build that relationship, some things begin to happen. Davin, where's Davin? Davin, my son. Benny, can you help me too? And Lonnie. Where's Davin? Hey. I'm just going to give you guys a visual of this. If we go to 1 Corinthians, I don't think I gave you this scripture, Liz. But if we go to 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay, so it doesn't matter. This scripture, I want going into this, I just wanted to say, I wanted to give you the scripture first because it doesn't matter what you do. He knows better than us what's deep down in there that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be weeded out, that needs some, or even those things that he's like, you know what? Let me take that because I'd love to give you this joy instead of that sorrow that you're feeling. I'd love to replace that with some things that I'm wanting to give you. He knows those things. The Spirit knows those things, which is why it's important for us to learn to put the Spirit first. Look, this is, I'm going to give the kids some things here. You're going to be soul. And you're going to be body. So, growing up, I really learned this as a gingerbread man. But I think this is going to work really well because I was trying to create some visuals for this and I was like, you know what? It's not working because unless I like make this one really fat and this one different, like it just doesn't work, right? But then God was like, you know, but that does work and I'll show you how. So this is how the world operates. The body is in front. Okay. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Wait, all of you guys switch places. You're in the back. Oh, wait, you're good. You can stay. You switch. Okay. This is how the world operates, okay? The body being the thing that leads them all the time. I'm hungry. I want to eat. I want to eat now. Okay. I am thirsty. I need water. Okay, let me get you some water. Right? With this guy standing behind, peeking his head to the side, going, hey, you're also angry, you know? You're also sad, you know, right now. And then coming back around and every once in a while going, hey, 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 you're also, you don't like that person. You don't know why, but you don't. You know, that's the thing. These people are really running the show for the world, right? Earthly thinking. While this one's staying in the back trying to go, hey guys, I'm trying to show you some things. Can you let me speak to you? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you some direction because I could really keep you from getting hurt by letting these things lead you. This is how the world operates. They don't realize that if they allowed their spirit to just commune with the Holy Spirit, that they could have these amazing things, right? That you guys all know about. So that's the thing, is this right here, I'm going to read it again. It says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And it goes on to talk more about it, but I want to go, can we go to 1 Corinthians? Hold on. Sorry, Liz. I don't think I gave you this either. 35 says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up and with that body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or if some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also, sorry, this is not, hold on. This is not where I'm trying to be. I think I wrote down the wrong thing. Sorry, guys, bear with me 1 second. Oh, that's fine. Okay. I wrote down the wrong numbers. That's why. The wrong book. I put one of the other scriptures there. So if we can go to back to Romans. And we're going to start. We're going to start at verse 26. 8. Sorry, 8:26. Man, I don't know. I don't want to. Okay. Yeah. Let's start at. Well, okay. I'm sorry. It's just that it's all so good. Okay. Yeah, we'll go ahead and start. We'll start at 24. Let's go and start there. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And then if we skip, over to 1 Galatians. Did I just not read enough? Okay, let's go to the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, towards the bottom of 5. What is it? 22? Okay, but we're going to start. Let's start verse 16. And it says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. Let me change this because that's an amplified. Sorry. Okay. For I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Okay, let's just go over that again really quick. Okay, the Bible is clearly telling you this guy and this guy are completely contrary to what God's going to be telling you. Okay, contrary here. So, I say then, let's read it again, walk in the Spirit, okay? So, switch places with that again. This is what we're gonna walk in the Spirit. We're gonna walk in the Spirit habitually, like it tells us to. So it's telling us on a regular basis, be going after the Spirit. Be going after God. It's not just saying every once in a while, it says habitually, okay? So I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It's letting us know they are going to be doing this. We don't agree with each other. I want these things. Is what, oh, this guy's saying, I want these things. And he's saying, no, you don't need that. But what happens is we don't let him stay here. Because when we're frustrated, when we're upset, the emotions say, no, I don't want to do that. Because I'm mad. And God, is it okay that I'm mad for right now? That's the thing, though, is he's trying to tell you, I don't want you to operate in that. I want you to learn to let this stay here all the time. Let this be the guide. Let it be what's bigger than the rest. Because that's the thing, is even when I was trying to fit those graphics together, I was going, yeah, they're not working. I have to like make the Spirit really fat for it to stay over. And those other things still show weird on there. So it wasn't working. And God said, it's okay. Because your visualization should be that if this is bigger, it covers that no matter what. Right. It won't be peeking out. It won't be doing any of that because now it's serving its purpose, which is that you are receiving things from God. You're getting those things from Him. You're learning to walk in it. And the rest is just get behind me. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm seeing. It doesn't matter because God, you told me. You gave me promises. You gave me things that I could stand on, and I'm gonna stand on them. And can I tell you that even learning to let the Spirit be what leads you in everything, it can help you in just the smallest things too. It can help you in work. It can help you in your relationships. It can help you when you're trying to speak to maybe a son and a daughter that don't want to hear anything that you have to say. It can help you in every single one of those moments because it's not you who changes people. It's not you who changes yourself. It's God in you that transforms. Whoo! Come on. This is meant to just overshadow all the rest. We got to stop letting these peek their heads out all the time and tell us what we need or what we're going to do because they don't know better. The Bible's telling us they are contrary to what I want for you. They're going to get in the way if you let them. They're going to keep you from things that God's trying to give you because you're letting them rear their head instead of telling them, nope, I'm controlling this. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to be what's in charge. And I don't care if you're trying to talk to me. I'm putting Him before. Then let's see. As we go through that, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering. Just like I told you guys in the beginning, I don't know what I did to make that lady hate me, but I served her regardless. That was long-suffering. Not just irritation and I'm upset. You're mean to me, I'm mad at you. No, that's the way the world functions. But it's learning to say, the Spirit says that long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. So the Bible tells us that that's what we should be bearing fruit. So look, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's very clear that we are meant to walk in the Spirit. All the time. Not every once in a while, not when it's convenient, and not when it feels good. Church, this is important because this is where we begin to be that light that God talks about. Because now we're not letting, just like the story I told you with Kat Von D, it's making the church look bad. It's making the church look ugly. It is not a reflection of who God is. And it's why people get frustrated with the church. But it's because religion is being practiced, not a relationship, not the communion that should be happening on a regular basis. That's not being practiced enough. So we're allowing these things to still keep rearing their heads every so often. And they're trying to push in front. Hey, get behind me. And we're allowing it to happen in our life. Church, we're getting real right now. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm not trying to make anybody upset. But we are meant to function this way. And when we're saying, why aren't we seeing this? Or why can't I have that? Or why am I still struggling with these things? I just want to encourage you today. Look to the Holy Spirit. Because he will guide you. He will give you exactly what you need. When you feel like you don't understand something or why it's happening, he will give you clarity. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you the things that you need for forgiveness. He'll give you the things that you need to move forward. He'll give you every single thing. It's why you hear about people having problems with addiction, having problems with different things, and suddenly it being gone. And some people say, it can't be that way. Well, you know what? It can. Because when the Spirit is the one that's in control and it's the one going before, it can make all the rest shut up. Right. It can make all the rest just get behind it and be gone. And that is exactly how we're meant to function. The church needs to realize that this is vital in our lives. It is vital for us to stop bickering. It's vital for us to start loving on each other. It is vital for us to start tearing down walls between other churches and realizing that we are one. And that if we allow the Holy Spirit to go before us in every single thing, our lives will be a reflection of it. Because this is exactly what this just said. People look at the fruits of the Spirit all the time, but go a few scriptures up and it's going to tell you the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And if you allow the flesh to be what leads you, this is what you're going to see. And I think every single one of us, let's be honest, church. I think every single one of us can look at that list and say, okay, God, work it out. I don't want to be showing those fruits. I want to be showing the fruits of the Spirit. I don't want the hatred, the envy, the any of those things. I want the love. I want the long suffering. The patience is really what that is. I want the joy. We should be a reflection of who he is. And those fruits are telling you, as you put that flesh behind you, you're gonna begin to bear these fruits in your life. They're gonna show like none other. And as they show, this is gonna just be a shining light to everybody around you. Because where they knew you could have gotten mad, you were not mad. Where they knew that you could have just quit, you did not quit. Where they knew that you could have just decided, I am too sad and I can't go anymore, you continued to push forward. Where you felt like there's no way, the burden is too heavy, he says, let me lighten it. Go to 1 John 4:13. You guys can sit. Sorry. Go ahead. I know I had you guys up here for a really long time. This says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So no man hath seen. I think this is throwing me off. I'm sorry. 1 John 4:13. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I like this because it does. It's exactly what we just talked about, where those fruits are going to be manifested. It's saying the same thing. No, we may not have seen God physically in front of us, but as we allow those fruits to bear in our life, and that's what we're allowing to go forth instead of all the fleshly things, we begin to show who God is. People see him, not because of us, but because now we are doing what's contrary to what everybody else does, because they're used to operating in the body and in the soul. That everything that happens is based on their emotions, what they need, what's going on. Whereas when you start functioning completely separate to that, you are definitely set apart. And people will see it. That's what the scripture is even talking about. They're going to see it. It's going to be manifested in you, because now you're not allowing it to be me who's driving the car. We're allowing God to do that. We're allowing him to be the one to take us in every direction, to deal with every situation, and holding all of those things in line for us. So last scripture, I promise, 4:12. Sorry, two scriptures, Matthew 11:22. So Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Go after God. He can help you. This scripture I wanted to give you guys, because this can be confusing to a lot of people. It can be difficult for a lot of people. Go after God. Go after him. Let him speak it to you. Let him show you. Let him give you scriptures on it, all of those things, because he will. It's something that he's wanting you to understand. So if you have questions, if you're like, I'm not sure about that, go to God. This right here even talks about how he will show you. And I like that it even talks about the separating the division of soul and spirit, because that can be so confusing for so many people. So many people want to confuse the soul with the spirit. And they are different, but he will show you those things when you go after him. He will show you all of it. It's going to be those mysteries revealed. He will give you those things. Matthew 11:28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the next one? Sorry. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I like this because he's even telling us right here, your souls can weigh you down. They can make you feel a lot of stuff, right? They can make you feel extremely sad. They can make you feel very anxious. They can make you feel angry, happy, all of these different things, right? Which can be so heavy. Right? Like, think about it. I mean, I feel like that's even a hard part for people who don't know God. That's why we hear so much about anxiety and depression and all these different things, because it's running them. It's there all the time. But this even says, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Because when you allow the Spirit to go before you, you will feel all those things. The peace that passes all understanding, joy that's unspeakable. All of the things that the scripture talks to you about, you'll feel those things just lifted off you, because now those emotions aren't running you anymore. You're allowing God to speak to you, give you direction, take you places, and give you insight into things that even do bother you. And because of that, it gives you rest. Oh my goodness. Isn't it so nice when everything is not difficult, right? Like sometimes even when you go to work, it can be stress. Even when you're dealing with maybe a family member, it can be hard and frustrating. When you're dealing with people in general, you could feel like, you could feel worry. You could feel all these different things. Those things are exhausting. They're very exhausting. But just like this says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the next scripture, it talks about him taking the yoke. Can you take my yoke upon you and learn of me? Learn the things he has for you. That's why I'm telling you, take all this stuff, take the scriptures I've given you, go after it. You can go after him. You can ask him questions, ask him to reveal things to you, ask him to give things to you. He will do it for you. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Plain and simple. You'll find rest. So I just want to encourage you this morning, go after him. Ask him for these things. Ask him to show you. Ask him to speak to you on things. If there's things that you're even worried about today, go after the Holy Spirit. Commune with him. Commune with him on a regular basis and allow that Spirit to be the thing that you are feeding all the time. Not the body or the soul. Stop feeding those things. Make them get smaller. And feed the Spirit, because that is going to be, if you go after God, if you keep communing with him all the time, the Holy Spirit's just going to give you and give you and give you things. And it just builds you and builds you and builds you. And it's what allows you to put that Spirit before you all the time. Okay? I'm sorry I went late.
Hey, praise God. Hey, I want to get soul, spirit, soul, and body up here one more time. Is that okay? Yeah, give them the sheets too. Because I just saw something. But one thing you got to know is that the Holy Spirit, his job is to transform the whole man. Can you say amen? The whole man. So give him, hey, where's Benny? Benny, yeah, come on, man. That's it. Yeah, give him that. Now, who's the spirit? Yeah, you, okay. Soul? Get in line like you were. Okay. All right, there you go. Now, Davin, take off. Just start walking. You guys got to follow him, because this is the whole thing, is, you know, walk in the Spirit. So the spirit, just walk, man. Just walk normal. Don't walk like you're, yeah, just, yeah. Okay. And then turn around, walk back. All right. See, a lot of times what happens is, you know, like the body wants to run around or whatever and get out of place. But see, this is the way God wants us to walk. But know this. I just felt really impressed to say this to you. You can stop there. This is the one that's hearing from the Father, the Spirit. Your Spirit is hearing from the Father. You're having communion with your Father, right? All right? And so this one here, in turn, turns, and he begins to speak to this one. This one gets, because your soul has to be transformed. God is interested not just in the spirit. He's also interested in our whole being, our whole man. I should hold in that. I'm not used to talking about this thing. So this guy begins to talk to this guy. This guy begins to the mind of the Spirit begins to enter into this guy. And then what happens is this guy begins to turn into this piece, this little one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because this is the one that says, well, I've got cancer. I've got diabetes. This is the one that says all those things. You see, this one teaches this one. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to hit you. This one teaches this one, and then this one begins to speak to this one. God is interested in the whole body. He created us spirit, soul, and body. He's interested in the whole thing. That way, when they're all in agreement, then this one walks in the health that God has provided by his Spirit. Is that okay? Do you understand that? You are intended to walk in health, but maybe your mindset of what's going on in the mindset is telling you something totally different. And it's telling you that, well, the doctor said, well, I don't care what the doctor said. The word of God says this. Well, no, the doctor said, who cares? And then the Spirit says, who cares what the doctor said? The Spirit of God says this. So then this one says, well, the Spirit of God says this, you're healed. Amen? Yeah. It is the Holy Spirit doing what he wants to do with the whole man. The total man. God doesn't just want to get rid of the body. Okay, now let's get rid of the soul. In other words, he wants the whole person. You need to be whole. Can you say amen? Let's stand up. Let's pray. Hey, this was, went a little long. It's already 2:00. Everybody looked at their watch. But
But I really believe, thank you, Rebecca. I really believe this is very much needed today, because you really need to understand that you, this person, this, the mind, will, and emotions is not supposed to be instructing this guy. This guy instructs this guy, and this, then this one instructs this one. Does that make sense? So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would take, you would place this word in the hearts of your children, Father, and cause them to walk today, Father God, in a new way that they hadn't walked in for years, Father. Father, let your spirit lead them and guide them in everything, Father, in every decision, Lord. Let us be, as the body of Christ, Father, we thank you that, as Pastor John has said, he came to finish the work. The Holy Spirit here is finishing the work. Let us be whole and complete according to your word, Father. In Jesus' name, do you agree with that? Say amen. Hug somebody's neck. Tell them you love them. Thank you, guys. Yeah, God bless you. Hey, welcome to November. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.